Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Nice to see you on this sort of miserable November morning. But it's good to have the light of God's Word before us today. We have just been singing quite a marvellous hymn, which, in the mercy of the Lord, I had my attention drawn to today. And it suits very well what it is we have to say to you. We're turning to a new verse today. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, and it's the chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. That's the chapter with all the parables. Very important parables, let me tell you. If you master and understand the parables of Matthew chapter 13, you will be very learned indeed in the plan and purpose of God for this whole age and for the end of this age, when the Lord will return. But we're going on past the parables to the verse 54. The verse 54. And here's what it says. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So you can see immediately what it is we're going to be looking at. We're considering in our studies the things that were said about the Lord Jesus. And here's one of the things that was said about him. Listen to it again. Whence hath this man this wisdom? Or where did he get this wisdom and these mighty works? It says here that this took place in his own country. A town usually rejoices when one of its sons rises to great heights of honour and prominence and fame. But not so Nazareth, which was the city in which the Saviour had been raised as a boy. And here he is coming to it and preaching in their synagogue, and already the fame of the Lord Jesus had been spreading. People were talking about him, what he said, and also what he did by way of miracles. And you would think that Nazareth would have been somewhat proud of him and would have been saying, you know, he came from our city, he's one of us. But that is not the spirit that we discover was in the people of Nazareth. For when he came to his own town where he grew up, there was much resentment, and there was controversy rather than rejoicing and celebration. I believe that this is the same incident that we read about in Luke chapter 4, the verses 16 to 30. God directed the four writers of the Gospel, oftentimes, to retell the same story. But each one of them told that story from their point of view. So the accounts are not exactly word for word the same. But when you compare them, you get a full picture. A full picture. That's why in the courts of the land, there is usually more than just one person giving evidence about what happened at a particular scene. Because the court likes to hear more than one person tell the story, so that what one person missed, the other person saw, and so a fuller picture is given. Well, that's the same with the Bible. Luke tells us, in his account, that the reception that the Lord Jesus received from his, what we might call his fellow citizens, fellow countrymen, in and around Nazareth, was most wicked indeed, because they took him out of the synagogue and they approached a hill which is there in Nazareth still, and they tried to throw him out over. It's a cliff that they brought him to, and they tried to throw him out over, but the Saviour miraculously just escaped their hands. I've often told you that in 2010, seems a long time ago, in 2010, myself, my wife, and some friends were in Israel. And I remember us driving up toward Nazareth, up a road. And there was that cliff, very steep, and that's the very place. And believe me, it is quite something to look at a place where once the Lord Jesus Christ stood. And you have the account of what happened in the Bible. And to think of that account and to look at the very place, it's quite something. It's very moving. It has an impact upon you. And I recall that very well, that particular day as we passed that hill, and I thought of the scene that Luke sets before us in his account. The words that we have here, and we're going to be considering, are words of questioning. They're not words of praise. They're words of doubt. Listen to them again. Whence, where hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? There's a questioning. They didn't say this is of God. What he's saying is true and is of God. They weren't saying we see in him, in his words and in his works, evidence that God's with him. No, they didn't say that. They said, where is this coming from? Is this of God at all? They were doubting, questioning the Saviour and what it was he was saying and doing. First thing I want us to consider as we look at these words today is the fact that the ministry, the preaching of the Lord Jesus was undoubtedly supernatural. Says you, what does supernatural mean? Well, the word super, we use it every day, and it sort of has lost its meaning. But it means simply above. Something that is above. Above. And when we talk about that which is supernatural, we're talking about something that is above, beyond that which is natural. Now, if Joel was to go outside, flap his arms, and begin to fly, we would say, oh, that's supernatural, because it's not natural to be able to fly by flapping your arms. And if it was natural, Joseph would be flying long ago, for he's quite good at flapping his arms. That illustrates for you then what supernatural is. It is something that is above what is normal and natural. And the ministry of the Lord Jesus was undoubtedly supernatural. It was said on another occasion that when the people listened to the Saviour preaching, they said, he doesn't sound like the scribes, but he has power as he preaches. You see, as I say, the ministry of the Lord Jesus was undoubtedly supernatural, and this people showed it. They're saying, where did he get this wisdom? His preaching is not what we're used to. It's not normal. It's extraordinary. The people were astonished, we're told. Look at the verse. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue insomuch that they were astonished. Astonished. That's not the reaction that they would have had in the services in the synagogue when the usual preacher got up. He didn't astonish them with what he said. But the Lord Jesus astonished them. Do you know what that word astonishment means, quite literally? It means breathless with amazement. Breathless with amazement. If I was to come to you and poke you suddenly in the tummy, it would leave you breathless. It would also leave you in a bit of pain. Well, the breathlessness here is not painful, but it gives you the picture. His words were so astonishing that it was like a punch. It hit their mind, it hit their heart, like a punch, and left them gasping. Where did he get such words as these? That was the reaction then of the people. And that reaction shows that the Savior's preaching was not normal. It was supernatural. You know, boys and girls, we can't really imagine what it must have been like to hear the Savior preach. When you're reading your Bible, and I hope you do take time every day to read your Bible. Now, when you're reading the words of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel, just imagine what it must have been like to have been there to hear him say these things. Because it would have been beyond what we could imagine it to be. Most marvelous. The sound of His words, the power of His words, the impact of His words upon our heart. That's what happens when God takes to dealing with the soul. You remember the jailer in Philippi? When God took a dealing with him, it says he came into the presence of Paul and Silas and he fell down on his face and he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Here was a man in shock, a man frightened, a man that had been shaken by God as God applied his word to his heart. That's what happens in revival. Across the country, God begins to take a dealing. There's a storm takes place, only it's a storm of blessing as God begins to move by His Spirit and apply His Word with power to the hearts of individuals. We must ever, and I may not get beyond this particular point this morning, we must ever hold in high regard, have a very high opinion of that book you're holding. We must never be careless with it, but we must ever remember this is the Word of God. It's a record of what God has said and which He wants you to understand. Oh, treat the Bible for what it is, the Word of God. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. When you go to the Bible and go to the very beginning of the Bible, there you will see the Word of God at work. What happened? Well, you needn't look it up, but I'm sure you know what took place. In Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 3, it says, "And God said," God spoke. And throughout that chapter, we are told, "And He said, and He said, and He said." And as God spoke, this world came into existence. All that's in the world, all that is in the universe, the most of which we have never seen, it all came into existence when God spoke. That's all He had to do. He spoke. That shows you the power of His Word. It's a creating power. A creating power. But when we look at the Gospels and the record of the Savior's life, we'll see that there the Lord Jesus spoke and the dead were raised. The blind were made to see, lepers were cleansed, crippled people instantly had strength restored to their limbs. Have you, well you wouldn't have, but you perhaps may have heard how that as a result of this COVID virus, some people have died, but some people have become very, very, very ill. And I've seen pictures of men and women who have been lying in hospital for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And then finally, as a result of the treatment they have received, they've been able to get up. And there's the picture of a nurse on either side of them teaching them to walk. They haven't the strength to walk. And they have to learn to walk again. These are men and women, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of age. And they have to learn to walk again as a result of this disease. Now there were those the Savior healed who had never walked all their days. From the time they were babies, they never were able to walk. Their limbs were diseased so that they couldn't walk. And then they met the Lord Jesus and He healed them. And Peter, or John, didn't have to go alongside them and take them by the arm and say, "Ray, we'll help you now to learn to walk." No. Instantly. They who had never walked, they whose legs and feet had never worked, were able to jump up, leap about, doubtless run. For I feel that someone who had been all their days just sitting on the ground, unable to move and edging along, as we would say, the way we babies do before they learn to walk. Hedging along. That was all they could do. Shift themselves with their hands. Well, the moment they would have been able to get up on their feet and walk, I'm sure they went for a bit of a run. I'm sure of it. Like you do when you go out at break time. You're out through the door and off you go running. I remember as a boy, when springtime arrived, One of the things I used to love to see was the neighbours, the farmers, they had calves that had been shut up over the winter, and now they were going to get out. And what a sight it was to see the door open, and out would go the calves skipping and jumping and leaping about, as we would say. I don't know whether you've ever seen the like. But they were so glad to be able to be out, rather than just move about a few yards in the shed they were in. And they leapt about and flung up their hind legs, and the tail was up in the air, and they were really enjoying. And I feel that anyone who was so touched by God that they were able to walk after having been crippled would have gone for a bit of a run as well. After they thanked the Lord, of course, for his kindness. Yes, this is the word of God. It raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, strength to the crippled, opened the ears of the deaf by a word. He spoke a word and it was done. And that's the record of his word there. You better hold a high view of the Bible. And then again, by this word, the word of the Lord Jesus, this age will come to an end. Did you know that? Let me read to you what we have in 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 4. Older ones, look it up. Because, as I've said very often, when you see something, you will remember it much longer than when you merely hear something. 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 4, and the verse 16. And Paul's talking about the coming of the Lord. Well, if you look at verse 15, it'll give us the context. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, this is God's word to you, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, whoever's alive among God's people when Jesus comes again, shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep, those who have died. If the Lord Jesus were to come today, Paul is saying, if he were to come today, then you who are saved would not meet him before those who in past years had loved the Lord and were saved, but now are lying in graveyard. You wouldn't see the Lord and meet the Lord before them, because they are dead and buried. No! The Lord is going to see to it that not only we who are saved, if we're alive when he returns, will see him, but right beside us will be Adam and Eve and Seth and Abel and David and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You see what I mean? All those who lived and died believing in the Lord Jesus will, at the very instant the Lord Jesus come back, be raised from the dead, so that together the living and those who were dead will see the Lord at the one time. See the Lord at the one time. Isn't that something? That's quite marvellous indeed, you know. Quite marvellous that it should be so. Well, that's what Paul's teaching here, because here's then what he says, and this is the important thing I want you to notice. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Listen. With a shout. With a shout. When the Lord comes back again, he's going to speak. He's going to speak loudly. He's going to speak loudly. And when he speaks, all things are going to change. It will bring to an end this age in which we live, and it will be the beginning of the new age, the millennial age, the millennial age. I want you to understand today how wonderful and glorious is the Word of God. When it's preached, we should listen. We should pray for those who preach the word of God, that God would help them. And we should pray for those who hear the word of God, that they might believe it. Do you believe God's word today? Or has God spoken, and you have heard his word read and proclaimed to you, but you've just ignored it? You've just ignored it. That's not how you should treat the word of God. Well, may the Lord bless his word to the hearts of each and every one of us today. Let's bow in prayer. O God, teach us all to honour and revere and believe the word of God. I ask thee, Lord, to bless the boys and the girls be with each one of them today, and with the teachers as well. O God, answer our prayers and bless us now, we ask. In the Savior's name, amen. Amen.